time to welcome our guest to the show now. He's called Kevin Guest, and the book is called The Secrets of Solomon's Temple. Kevin, a very good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, interesting idea, this. Basically, what the book is saying, I guess, is that the biblical story that we've been kind of led to believe over the years about Solomon and the temple that he built may not be all that it first seemed.
I think that's right. It basically stems from an article which I saw written in a book about 10 years ago, where an outstanding biblical archaeologist wrote that Solomon was not his name during his lifetime,
right,
but it was a name that was attributed to him sometime after his death. Now, that therefore raises all sorts of questions about really who Solomon was, and why was he given another name? And how long after he died. And when you start from that position, all sorts of other issues come to mind.
Because we know there are connections with modern Freemasonry, which we'll get into just a second. So let's look at in a bit more detail at some of these areas then that you look at in the book. You said that there's kind of been a secret lying at the centre of Freemasonry for hundreds of years connected to this. In what area are you referring to here? What are you talking about?
Well, it's quite clear that our ancestors, in terms of their first deity, for want of a better term, had the sun at the centre of their religious activities. And certainly from the research that I've been pursuing for the past 15 years, certainly the sun certainly appeared to have some influence on the design of Solomon's temple.
Right.
In fact, that's even stated by Josephus, and you can actually see it written in the text of the Bible. Now, in Freemasonry itself, there is quite a lot of reference to the sun as well. And the sun was used very much, particularly the shadow of the sun, was used very much as a marker for the seasons, for knowing when to sow crops and that sort of thing. But around about 250 BCE, suddenly the whole concept of the sun being at the centre of the universe became one of great contention. And because the religious authorities took the view that God had created the earth and then the stars and the heavens, that the earth had to be at the center of everything. And so so much of the traditions of our ancestors, which related to how to use the sun, seemed to have got pushed very much into the background.
Right.
Now, within Masonic ceremonies, there is an element there which suggests that the fact that the sun was really the center of our solar system and that the earth revolved around it was something that was known a very, very long time ago. Within the establishment of the church as it existed for much of the past 1500 years, to have actually gone out and quoted that was the sort of information that was likely to see you charged with heresy. You could have been put in prison and tortured.
Right.
So needless to say, it was one of those sort of subjects that you needed to keep a little bit quiet about, even though sort of scientifically you could see that it was sort of the mainstay of the way the world worked.
Right.
And it's that element that I believe was more the, what I would call a secret, which was held within the ceremonies of Freemasonry.
And was that the secret that Solomon actually ultimately possessed as well then?
I believe so. In fact, again, if you refer to the works of people like Josephus, as well as the context of the Bible, you see there is an awful lot of reference there to the sun and the way in which the sun was used within the temple. In fact, it seems that Moses also had the same knowledge, and he built the tabernacle to reflect the same kind of information, where at certain times of the year the sun would penetrate through the porchway of the temple, through the hallway, and then into to the Holy of Holies at the rear of the temple. And this seems to have been used very much as what I would call a solar marker.
Why do you think the Freemasons then kind of use this as such then, and kind of decide? Because they used Solomon's seal as a Masonic symbol, didn't they, which is like a pentagram.
Well, there is a question mark over what actually is Solomon's seal.
Right, okay.
Because within the Masonic context, it's what we see as the Star of David.
Right.
Now, the Star of David is one of these symbols which you can find in a lot of places, and it's, I mean, one of the most remarkable that I've discovered is in the north face of Chichester Cathedral.
Okay.
It's one there about, it's about 10 feet in diameter, it's a wonderful window. And that, of course, was built back in the 12th century. So in Freemasonry, what is seen as that Star of David with the circle around the outside, that's what's regarded very much as Solomon's seal. But then there's the question of how did it come to be associated with Solomon? And when you start to look at the use of the shadow of the sun, you find that there are certain connections with geometry. Solomon's seal, I think, is based very much on geometry, and I think that there are, and based on a lot of the work that I have done in the last 15 years, it seems that the temple itself was also a reflection of that same geometry. And I think that what's happened is that within the context of the ancient temple builders, the stonemasons who built some of these quite remarkable buildings, that knowledge and that tradition of the geometry has gone through with them as what I would call a trade knowledge, trade secret. And it's been retained then within Masonic ceremonies.
You also in the book look at the marriage of Jesus and Mary and the origins of the virgin birth as well. And what sort of conclusions did you come to about that? And in fact, the real name of Jesus as well.
Well, I haven't done that in the context of looking at it as what I would call a dedicated subject.
Right.
What I have done is I've tried to say in one of the chapters there that actually when you look at modern biblical text and you compare that with, shall we say, the text of the King James Version, there are some very stark differences. And in addition to that, over the course of the past 60, 80 years, there's been the advantage of the discovery of the Nag Hammadi scrolls, the Dead Sea scrolls, copper scrolls, clay tablets, and all sorts of other valuable sources of information that the academic community has now got to its armory. And this information was clearly not available to the early scribes of elements of text of the Bible. So that when you actually look at some of these things, you have to say, is the sort of connotations that were presented on some of this information, do they really hold true anymore? And there was one very remarkable book written by a lady called Dr. Barbara Thiering called Jesus the Man, and she was an academic who'd spent some 25 years studying the Dead Sea Scrolls. And within the chronology which supports the main text of the book, you actually find where she has been able to decipher the date on which they met and the various marriage ceremonies that Jesus and Mary Magdalene went through. So what I'm really doing is not sort of trying to challenge anything there, but say, hang on, look, there's a whole bunch of information that we now have which is relevant to the scriptures, which may mean that we have to change in some way the way in which we think about them, we reflect on them.
Right.
And then, of course, that sets the scene then for some of the changes that we may need to make now in respect of Solomon, keeping in mind this comment that an academic has made, which is that Solomon was not his name in his lifetime. It was a name he acquired sometime after his death.
Do you think a lot of people are kind of suspicious about the origins of the Bible now anyway? Because I think there is a thought that there's a lot of information that has never been made public by the Church, by the Vatican, that we know. I think that there are still many scrolls that have never been seen. Are we just seeing, are we basing most of our ideas and thoughts on only part of the information, really?
Well, I don't think I'm really qualified to comment on that, other than the fact that certainly I think over the past maybe 15, 20 years, we have seen more and more information which comes out from the academic community, which does sort of raise sort of questions about, as I've said, as to whether or not some of the information we have, which is, relates to the Bible, relates to the Old Testament as well as the New, is actually quite as robust as perhaps it may have seen and been vigorously enforced over perhaps the last 1,500 years.
What sort of conclusions have you come to then about the myth and the reality regarding Solomon and who he actually was and what he actually did?
Well, funny enough, one of the great advantages of modern technology, which has been available to us perhaps for the last 15 years and which, again, wasn't available even to theologians until recently, is the fact that now on a home computer you can have a disk which will show you perhaps 14 or 15 different versions of the Old and the New Testaments,
right,
and enable you one to do a lot of word search. Now, actually, when I was doing some of this work, I discovered that in the book of Samuel, it actually tells us who Solomon was, and it gives him the name of Jedidiah. So I think we start from that point and say, well, this was his name. Now, why was his name changed from Jedidiah? And when I started to look further at the name Solomon and some of the aspects of his name that have been researched by others, you find that it can actually, the word Solomon can actually be split into two words, and that's Sol and Omon. And the word Sol has a very close affinity with the word sun. And Omon traditionally means that it is the sun that's below the horizon, in other words, night and the ability to see the moon. So we could very well interpret the word Solomon as being the sun and the moon. So if we then say we're talking about Solomon's temple, then maybe what we're talking about is a temple that was dedicated to the sun and the moon.
Ah, interesting. Well, if you want to find out all the information and delve further, the book is called The Secrets of Solomon's Temple by Kevin L. Guest. I'm pronouncing your name incorrectly here.
No, it's Guest.
It is Guest, right. G-E-S-T. And it's in the shops now. Fascinating stuff. Kevin, many thanks for joining us on the programme this morning.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Good to talk to you.